I came to OU 22 years ago to pursue my degree, and by the grace of God, I graduated, and yes, those are tough times. I still remember I write the first computer program. It was a simple 10-line code. We still use the punch card. When I get out the output from the printer, it is the 10-line of code plus 20 pages of error. I said, how can it be? Anyway, by the grace of God, I graduated and worked at the medical school for 10 years. And also the responding to God's calling and now pastoring at a Chinese church here in town. Well, I grew up just like you in a strange land. I still remember a friend of mine said, that is his story. My story is, you heard about American trying to hug me. I duck and I try to run. Now his version is like this. Is he Chinese? Oh, well, my dad is from Communist China. When they fell, he ran to Malaysia, married my mom, and I'm the sixth of the 11 children. They love children. God loves Chinese. That's why the world is full of them. God loves Chinese. Anyway, where was that? Oh yeah, this friend of mine. As we came here, and I still remember I cook Chinese noodles in Walker Tower, ninth floor. And my roommate, your lamb, came in and said, something died, it was stinky. I was enjoying my noodles. Something died, it's so stinky. Anyway, a friend of mine, his parents send, hot dogs, Chinese hot dogs. It looks kind of like American, it's kind of red in color. But they are dried, like dead fish, okay? But these are dead meat. So they send the Chinese hot dog. So you don't know what to do with it. And of course, during the time when they go down and wash the their laundry, and then they saw, there was a burner in the dorm. They quickly ran upstairs, took the hot dog, stick something in there, and heat up the hot dog. Oh man, they have a good time. Oh, the whole dorm was filled with the Chinese hot dog. Because that was the heater, you see. They didn't know that was the gas heater. I'll tell you one. Yes, we have a very exciting adventure. Yes, international students here. Yep. Once upon a time, I thought I would never get married. A short, ugly guy like me, poor, lonely bread. I was a bad guy. Hating Christian was my hobby. Before the Lord taught me, like Jesus said, I come and to seek that which was lost. I can't find Jesus, but Jesus found me and given me a wonderful wife, Esther, and four children. My brother Derek, boy, you good, do good. Yes, by the grace of God, we got four. Seriously, I consider all my accomplishments here, awards that I received, 3 degrees, but above all, the greatest accomplishment, 22 years here, is to know Jesus personally. It happened because one of you discipled me. Yes, this person now is my mentor. Simple Christian like you introduced me to Jesus. And yes, that changed my life. And that changed my eternity. Yes, God has put you here for a very special purpose. Let us pray together. Our Father in heaven, we come before your presence through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. thank you, Lord, for being with us here. And Lord, we can feel your presence. You are worthy to be praised. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The question is, how do we reach international students or international, or reaching others together with serve God and expand His kingdom? If you have your Bible with you, let us turn to Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. As I prayed and asked the Lord to lead me to deliver you a message that transcends culture, that transcends all continents, that transcends all languages, yes, with the Word of God, just as it touched me, it can change any life. It can change your life, and it can change any students from any part of the world. Now, these stories that we're going to read here in Acts chapter 2, you see, many people, I counted, they come from different parts of the old ancient world. If you count it, there are 15 different countries that gather together in Jerusalem. We noticed that the disciples get together and the Holy Spirit fell upon them, the Pentecost, and they stood up and proclaimed the message of God. And people were turning to God from different countries. And that day, 3,000 were baptized. Yes? Today you may say, oh, how I wish I was there when the Holy Spirit fell upon us. And you speak with boldness and might. But yes, we cannot repeat that history. We cannot repeat that event. But do you know that the same that fell upon them now lives in your heart and my heart? That's why I'm here. I'm a brat. I hate Christian as a hobby. I curse missionary when they come to my country. I said, these are white devils. Because I worship idols. I was blind. I was on my way to hell. And I was proud of it. But God seeks me out. God spoke through that faithful servant of His. He proclaimed the message of love, message of hope. That same Holy Spirit now lives in you and me. We cannot duplicate those incidents. But we can duplicate their love, their fellowship, their commitment. Let's learn from them. Verse 42. The four things, four examples that we can learn from their godly example. One is to commit to study the Bible together. You see, verse 42. They devote themselves to apostles' teaching. The first thing that these disciples do is to get together and study the Word of God. This is an important principle. Because it is God's desire that every believer be a disciple of Christ. And yes, disciple of all nations. The greatest blessing we can give to anyone, including the internationals, is to give him the Word of God. Jesus our Lord says, John 6:63, the Spirit gives life, and the flesh counts for nothing. The word I have spoken to you are spirit. They are life. The word of God is spirit. It is life and it gives life. You can enjoy this abundant life in Christ each time you come and spend reading God's word, receiving it from Him. How do I end up being a Christian? Then later, an engineer, a software engineer, and then a pastor. One night, I still remember, I was washing my clothing. Wash and wash. And by the way, back I was from Malaysia. We don't have a, what they call the dishwasher. No. Those are the washing machine. Yes, washing machine, of course. They wash your clothing. Yeah, those things. And we don't have it, so I wash you guys are so blessed, right? You give 25 cents or 50 cents, you ping, you just sit down and yeah. No, I have to go like this and like this. That's how I grew up. And I hang those clothing under the sun in my outside. And that day, I felt, I was so happy. I was so happy. I mean, I'm ridiculously happy. I don't even know why I'm happy. It's just something come upon me. Somebody thought I have a, what do you call it? It's joy, overfilled with joy. I have no clue what it is. And then, by the grace of God, my roommate is a Christian. I never seen a Bible in my life. And he had a living Bible. It was green covered. I was so curious that night. I said, "Guy, can I take a look at your Bible?" He stared at me. "Of course, I have plenty. You can have this." Well, I guess he was trying to reach out to me. And I've gone to a few meetings with him, just like this one, you know, coming to know the Lord. I've been to a few the Bible studies. I'm just so curious. I told the Lord that night, you know, as I heard people pray, I pray, I said, "God, this is a deal. If I can't find the answers in the Bible tonight, I will not sleep. I want to know, why am I so happy?" And my friend said, because I told my friend, I said, "You better start reading from Matthew. Otherwise, I will start from Genesis." Okay, I'll put my heart to it. I read and read and read for about 3 hours. It was right in the middle of the night. I came to this verse, Luke 15. It's about the lost sheep. And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulder and goes home. He called his friends and neighbors together and said, "Rejoice with me, I found my lost sheep." As I continue to read, in the same way, Jesus said, "I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Suddenly, it dawned on me. I am so happy. I am filled with joy because I have found Jesus. I have turned away from my worldly lifestyle and turned towards God. And God is telling me, I'm happy. I'm rejoicing. The angels in heaven is rejoicing over one sinner who repents. That is the powerful word of God. Nobody told me. Nobody taught me. I was just given the Bible. So I encourage you. I'm very blessed to see that Rick and Jason, I remember a few names, have a Bible study in their apartments. I do encourage you to do so. Maybe you can have one on campus too. Right now, our church group have one in a student union food court. You see a lot of black-haired guys sitting around and yeah. That's where we are. And what we do? I don't preach. I just read. You don't have to preach. Leave it to the pastor. Just read the Word of God. It is life. It gives life. Let's see. The second thing the disciples did that we can learn to reach out. They are overwhelmed with so many people of different cultures, different nations around them coming into the city, Jerusalem. Just like here, we have people from all around the world. The second thing they do is they give themselves, verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. Now we know that this word, if you read the Greek, it means koinonia. What is koinonia? It means fellowship. It means unity. It means very close relationship. First with the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ, and then with one another. And because of the love of God in this person, he reached out and fellowship and to love his brothers and sisters of different nations. And he loved just as Jesus loved, sacrificially. That is communal fellowship. It is the sharing of life. It is the bond of love and unity that keeps us together. It's not just merely singing together, eating together, or saying hello. It goes much deeper than that. You see verse 45? Selling their possessions and goods, the gift to one another as he had need. You see? Even Barnabas later sold the land, sold his land, so that he may help others. This is tough love. The disciples taught us this lesson. True fellowship is giving of oneself to another. And this kind of fellowship transcends all culture. Yes, we know that love is an international language, right? Yes, this kind of giving yourself, ministering to others, will touch many lives. Especially, we from our culture are not that expressive in our fellowship. And the best we did is a shake of hands. And now, I've been here 22 years, I learned to hug. And reaching out to others. I remember one night we saw an international student. He was tall and skinny, with sunken eyes. Looks like he have not eaten for a while. We reached out to him and asked him, "What's happening in your life?" He said, "I do not have any money to buy food." I thought he was joking, but it was real. You know those economic downturn recently in the Asian country? And our Malaysian dollars have dropped half. Meaning, used to be $2 to $1, it becomes $4 to $1. Used to pay $5,000 for your tuition, now it costs you $10,000. So he's broke, totally broke. So we took him to the grocery store and care for him. Many of us join our hands together, pray for him. And I tell you, our Lord Jesus said this, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of this brother of mine, you did for me." Proverbs 3:27 and 28. "Do not withhold good from those who deserve it when it is in your power to act. Do not say to your neighbor, 'Come back tomorrow, I'll give it tomorrow,' when you now have it with you." Fellowship is not just spending time together. It is a sharing of our lives. You see, today this international student is married, and he has moved to Houston and become an architect. And do you know what? Today he's reaching out to others. And this person is living and experiencing God Bible study in a small group because someone here reached out to him. It's amazing, the multiplication power of discipleship. Reach out to others. The third thing we need to do is, or learn from this disciple. It's very simple. What they did is they enjoyed worship and prayer together. They devote themselves to the apostle teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and prayer. Here it means they put God first. Very easily in our life, and we go about trying to reach out to others or help one another, we forgot that this is a ministry. Only God can change a person. We can't change anybody. We have to put God first. That is our priority. Worship is focused on God. Prayer is, "God, I can't do it." God says, "I know." When we work, we work. When we pray, God works. Learn to trust God. Serve, just as Apostle Peter says, when you serve, serve with the strength of God. When we come and trust ourselves to Him. That is when we put our relationship with God, with Jesus as our priority, and everything else that whatever we do comes from this close, intimate relationship with our Lord Jesus. How often do they do that? Verse 46. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts, broke bread in their homes, and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. They did it every day. You can do it. You go to church once a week, I think. You come to Westboro once every Thursday. But beside these 2 days, yes, you can do it in your own apartment, in your own home. You can always have prayer. And our Lord Jesus has wants to encourage us. I think the song that we sang just now, when you pray, ask and it shall be given to you. And ask, you said, you ask and I will heal the land, right? This first time I heard this song and I like it. Yes, God used so many ways from different passages from the Bible to encourage us to pray. And our Lord Jesus said this. I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. John 14:13. They continue, the verse 14 says, you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Getting together, helping one another, relating one another. Don't forget the prayerful life of the disciple. Not only here, but also in your home. I remember this person. He always drove his international student. He is a PhD in the computer science. He drove his wife here, dropped his wife off, literally, and then he ran away. And for 5 years, he's been doing that. It's kind of weird. The moment we want to go out and reach out to him, he's gone. He, like me in the past, he just disliked Christians, especially pastors. He just hate them. I was once like you. Somehow God called me to be a minister now. So I didn't even have a chance to talk to him. He just hate me for no reason. So one day he got his baby. His wife have a baby. And we were told the baby was very sick. Okay, so we're going to visit him. Knock. He told his wife, he says, when the pastor comes, I don't want to see him. Later they told me. And when I went in there, the baby was crying. The baby was too young. Well, he was born at 6 months old, and not 9 months, not full term, and the baby had problems. He could not have bowel movements. You know what I mean? You eat in, you are supposed to take it out. But the baby had eaten for 5 days. Oh, Derek, you probably know. 5 days. They didn't have anything out. They freak out. They took it to the doctors, and the doctors put all those liquids, oil and everything, but it just wouldn't come out. So they panicked. And I was there. And the baby was moaning. You can hear the cry. The moaning cry of a baby. And then suddenly, he stopped. I quickly bring the baby over. I rock the baby. I said, since the baby is quiet now, let us pray. We pray. A short prayer. I said, Lord Jesus, help this baby. He needs bowel movement. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I know the husband doesn't like this. So quickly, we left. When I got home, about 3 minutes later, a phone rang. The wife called. She says, hey, Tony, I want to tell you a good news. My husband told me to call you. I said, uh-oh. He says, my baby just had bowel movement. He was so happy. God answers prayer. I don't know whatever needs that you encounter.
People around you have so many needs. What can we do? Nothing. What can you do? Doctors can't do much. What can you do? Nothing. But what can God do? Everything. But what can God do through one person? Anything that God chooses. For everything is possible with God. Remember that. Everything is possible with God. Here, this prayer works. It's prayer reaching out to others. So start a prayer. One of the best ways that you can relate with the international student, pray with them. I still remember this young man from Singapore. He go around everywhere and he just say very simple request. He said, "Can I pray for you?" When he meet a new friend, a new student, he say, "He have a booklet." He say, "Can I pray for you?" I still remember. He drives some people crazy, but his life has touched my life and touched many lives. He's a man of prayer. So I do encourage you, pray. What happened? Verse 47. When we focus on God, focus on His Word and prayer and worshiping Him. Verse 47 says, enjoying the favor of all men, and the Lord added to their numbers daily those who are being saved. Don't worry about the numbers. God will add people unto His kingdom. You see, discipleship or reaching out to others is our lifestyle. Outreach is not a program. It is our lifestyle. Everywhere we go, this is what our Lord Jesus did. He says here, 47, our Lord Jesus would add to the numbers. And our Lord Jesus will add to the numbers daily. Evangelism is not just sharing the gospel. It is the lifestyle of the disciples. It's not trying to sweet talk or convince somebody. Have all our head knowledge, how to deal with it, how to convince them, bring them. Yes, those are good. But don't forget, we need to come before the Lord, seek His will, totally dependent on Him, that everywhere we go, we are witnesses of Him. And as you have this booklet here, I think it says it very clearly. God has brought the world in front, in your doorstep. You can do mission work. I'm going to China, by the way. Do pray for me. I'm going to China Sunday. By faith, I'm leaving, God willing. And I know, I pray that I'll be back. God has brought the world into our door, backyard. You don't have to go that far. It's just amazing that God has paid for their airfares and they are here as students. What we can do here is reach out to them, and as they leave, they become disciples of Christ in different, wherever they go. They are disciples of Christ and continue to bear fruits and sow the seeds. So that this is one of the best ministry areas that God has given you and me. And this person, Ming, that I talked about, later have become a Christian. This one with the baby. And right now, in his home across the street from Parkville, in the last 12 months, He have led 8 persons to Christ. You see how it multiplies. It's amazing. God is at work among us to reach out to internationals. I encourage you, or anyone else, but for especially the internationals, as we focus on today, that God have a very special purpose for them. As you see, there are many, many leaders that were once here. Even I didn't know my president's son was a student at the university, Malaysian. One day, I went to Taiwan to visit an old student. And as I saw him coming, there was this guy that always walked behind him, or beside him. with a briefcase, you know. I'm so curious, why is he always, I thought he was just a passerby. But everywhere we go, he follows us. And then, of course, then I ask him, what is this guy doing here? Oh, he says, he's my bodyguard. Wow, I said, what happened to you? Well, I said, what happened to you? He says, oh, what are you doing here in this country, Taiwan? Oh, he says, I'm a two-star general. Wow, two-star general. He's the director of the West Point in Taiwan. Maybe one day he may be the president of Taiwan. I still remember helping him out with his dissertation. You do not know what God puts in our lives here. The one life that you touched would touch millions. I still remember, I'm going to China this coming Sunday. And by the grace of God, this person, I visited him the last time, 3 years ago. And now, he's the mayor, suffers by amazing grace of God. He came here and know Christ. And when I go out to dinner with him, he brought all the other mayors with him. Strange environment. And then he says, among all these, now these are communist party leaders, you know those guys? and then right before we eat, he says, oh, he's a Christian. Let us pray. Among all those communist party leaders. Oh, I prayed. Oh, he asked me to pray. I prayed. He's the mayor of a city of 9 million people. We do not know what God brought here. But yes, every life is precious. It's so exciting to join this ministry, to reach out to others. You never know one that you reach out here will touch many, many lives here and abroad. Remember this. The power that is behind us is far greater than the task before us. Share Jesus. Share it. You can do it. Let me read you a verse in conclusion. Sometimes you may find it so hard under these circumstances, under the environment that you have heard and whatever TV you have seen, and yes, there is a sense of anger, frustration, and I can't do it, and I just don't have that kind of love anymore for this kind of work. And but the Lord promises this. You can do it. With God, you can. Without God, don't even try. Verse 5 of Romans 5. Hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. You have the love of God in you. With God's love, you can do it. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we submit each individual here to you. May your love fill our hearts and empower us to serve you, to lift up the name of Jesus, and you will draw all men unto you. Lord, open our eyes to see there's so many needs around us. Help us minister with your love and with your strength. May your name be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.